Welcome to the Positive Education Podcast with Ash Manuel. As we know, the number one hot topic in the world is mental well-being. Ash has worked with close to 1,000 organisations impacting more than a quarter of a million people, including schools, sports teams and businesses across 45 countries. Today, Ash is regarded as a global thought leader in positive education. In this podcast, you'll hear stories, information and actionable ideas from positive education and well-being experts. The purpose of the podcast is so that you take away ideas that you can execute in your classroom, across your school, at your sports club and in your organisation, plus tips and tricks that you can apply in your own life.
Hi everyone and welcome to the Positive Education Podcast. My name is Ash Manuel and it gives me great pleasure today to introduce our special guest, Megan Hart. Megan's career in teaching has spanned over 22 years. She started her career at the Pines Primary School in Adelaide as a Year 6-7 teacher. She spent some time at the Pines as the acting school counsellor and then moved to Darwin to teach. These experiences ultimately led to Megan's passion for working in the area of student wellbeing. She's currently the student leader at Gillis Street Primary School in Adelaide CBD and has been in the role for the last 2 years. And she's been appointed to the role again in 2022. Megan has three children of her own and is passionate about supporting the mental health and well-being of children and enabling them to have a genuine voice in the decisions affecting their lives. Hi, Megan, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ash. Thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure. So, Megan, I was very keen to get you on the podcast to talk about how you've set up your well-being / positive education program at Gillis Street Primary. Mm-hmm. I know, we've been working together for about 2 or 3 years now.
Yes.
And yeah, and it was right at the start of your journey, because one of the things that I think some schools struggle with is starting out. So yeah. I think one of the keys is that, yes, the school has to commit to a program and then make the decision. And that comes from the school leaders then training the teachers. So once that occurred, what was the next step for you? Now, I know that Christy at the school was the wellbeing coordinator. And yep. how's your wellbeing program structured at the moment in terms of staff and who runs it or who oversees it? Because I know wellbeing's responsibility of everyone, but who, I guess, oversees the program at the school at the moment?
Well, currently I am doing that role. So I, as you said, the Growing with Gratitude program did start a few years ago and I was still teaching in the classroom at that point. At that stage for the program to start, there had to be teacher buy-in. So I know a committee was formed and they all did some research on different programs, what was out there, some research, and then it came back to staff with some of the options, and that's how we decided together that Growing with Gratitude was the best program to fit our school's needs at the time. So having that teacher buy-in was really important, and then Growing with Gratitude is that sort of program where teachers can be flexible in how they run it. And so for me, in my role as wellbeing leader, overseeing that program is relatively easy because teachers are the main runners of that program within their classroom.
Yep.
Obviously, there are things that I do as a whole school to keep that flowing and keep that language going and kids involved in it, not just in the classroom, but in their engagements with their peers in the schoolyard and so on. So there's certainly things that I do as the wellbeing leader to engage them in Growing with Gratitude. But yeah, I think it's the teachers that are really the drivers of the program.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just come back to it shortly about what you're talking about, the whole school just then, some of the language and some of the, I guess, initiatives that you've come up with across the whole school. But I just want to ask about the original setup. So before you came on board, Christy was, I think, wore a few hats. So she was a wellbeing coordinator, but then had other roles as well.
She's the assistant principal in wellbeing and inclusion. That's her title.
Yep.
And under that title, there's many hats.
And I think that's one of the issues that I've found working with schools is that schools are really keen to get a positive education or wellbeing program happening across the whole school, but it's that person who is that wellbeing coordinator or has the title of the wellbeing coordinator or the pastoral care.
Yeah.
Now, what I found is that that role ends up being a lot of behavior management. And because they might wear a number of different hats, it gets pushed to the side slightly. So how did your, because you're an additional team member, I guess, in the wellbeing space and overseeing that at the moment. So how did that come about where the school was able to put a extra, or put your role forward?
So a couple of years ago, our school was able to get, our category changed and we were able to get funding for a wellbeing coordinator for 3 days a week.
Yep.
So I won that position and I joined the wellbeing team with Christy, and that meant that she was able to give some of the jobs that she is responsible for to me, and as a team we manage that together. So even though I'm 3 days a week, she knows that when I come in, certain things that she won't have to worry about because I'll do them and I follow them up and I'll sort that sort of area. So we really have, even though we still work as a team and we do collaborate on a lot of things, you know, I'm responsible for managing the volunteers and I'm responsible for attendance and sorts of things like that where she will still dabble in, but I have responsibility for.
Absolutely.
Takes that pressure off her.
Yeah, definitely. Have you noticed as a school feedback from parents or other teachers since you have extended your wellbeing team, has it been, a worthwhile experience and has it worked as well as you would have liked?
I think yes is the answer to that question in more ways than one. You know, I think particularly from staff, I have had lots of positive feedback from staff just having that extra person. And one of the main focuses that I have had has been teacher wellbeing, which, you know, we all know is super important. And without it, you know, our students are not in as good a place if their teacher's not. So teacher wellbeing has been a big thing for me, and the feedback from the staff in some of the things that I've implemented has been very positive. So
yeah,
I know I have made a difference there in the work that I've done. And just recently I recorded students for a video about our wellbeing and engagement collection data.
Yep.
And some of the feedback that came through from the students also highlighted some of the stuff that I've implemented that they've really picked up on without even knowing that it was something I did.
Yeah.
And it was a positive thing for them. So I know that there has been a difference made, and the fact that I've won the position for another year is helps me know that there is good that's being done at our school. And another thing that was really highlighted the other day, we had our year 6-7 graduation.
Yep.
And all of the students had to get up individually and speak about themselves and give a quick snippet of their school life at Gillis Street and, you know, their main achievements and what they've learned from being at Gillis Street Primary School. And there were two students in year 7 that both commented about the thing they've learned the most being at Gillis Street, and the thing that they'll take with them the most has been the Growing with Gratitude program. So, you know, when you hear that in a speech by a student that's been at the school for their life, I felt, oh well, that's fantastic. You know, something has really honed in with these students to make them want to mention that at their graduation speech.
That's amazing. Actually, funny you say that, because I was talking to an employee of Unley Council the other day, and she mentioned that her daughter was writing her little speech and was talking about how about growing with gratitude in it, and she said, oh, I didn't realise that the kids were doing Growing with Gratitude at Gillis Street. So there you go. It's one of those things that, it's definitely.
Kids don't always let their parents know everything. And I guess maybe that's a point for us. If there is a student that's not even telling their parents or communicating to their parents about a program like that, maybe we need to communicate that more with the community. Even though, you know, we have it in newsletters and tips and all of that, you know, that just, there's always room for improvement, and that sort of tells me that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I guess the more the point of saying is that, Yeah, like I heard it from that someone was talking about it. The student was writing a speech about the program. So
there you go.
I think, it's one of those things where sometimes you don't know what kind of impact it's having, but when you hear stories like that, they're the ones that you know that, this is actually having an impact.
Yeah. And that made me feel really good about what we have done at school.
Yeah.
Because it obviously has had an impact, like you say, and without even realizing it. So that was a bit of a moment where I thought, oh, good, you know, you don't really get it unless you ask.
Mm.
But in this situation, we didn't ask for it; it just was there.
Yeah, that's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I
was really happy about that.
Definitely. So, just going back with the staff wellbeing, Megan, what are some of those things that you've implemented with the staff in the last 12 months or so?
Well, I have taken it on for the last 2 years. It's been a really big focus. And I've also, because I'm also the part of the social committee, which is only a small committee, but I've kind of made it, merged it all together, if you like.
Mm.
But I get one staff meeting per term for wellbeing. And two or three of those are always about teacher wellbeing. Yep. So having fun, team building, connecting, building relationships, that sort of thing. So last year, being in the city makes it a lot easier because we have access to different things that we don't have to travel to.
Yeah.
And when you do it in a staff meeting time, you only have an hour and a half. So you really need to think of things that can be done in that staff meeting time, finished by 5 and everyone goes home. But last year we went to Holy Moly, you know, the golf place, and we went there, and then I organised dinner after for those that could stay on.
Yep.
And that was fun. Unfortunately, you know, we have been hit with lockdowns and all sorts of things like that, so I've had to become a little bit more creative with what we did. So it hasn't all been outings, but the outings have been Holy Moly, and we did an escape room another time.
Yes,
she's also in the city, so that was good. Then I have done a scavenger hunt where it was quite an effort to prepare that one, but worth it because everyone really got into it.
Yeah.
Made a scavenger hunt, people got in teams, I had to dress up in colours, and they were walking around the city and finding things and racing and all sorts of stuff. They loved that as well. And I've had Sprout, the cooking school, come in and do a cooking demonstration.
Yep.
Just recently, the last wellbeing meeting we had was a murder mystery meeting, which was very fun. So they all got given a character and scripts that they had to take on this character, and it was everyone dressed up in their part. It was a 1920s New York theme. It set up a staff room like a nightclub type situation. it was really fun, and everyone got into it, everyone played the part. It was very well done.
Fantastic.
So they're the sorts of things that we've been doing just to connect with staff and really just have fun together. And it's really made a difference. And I've taken photos of all of these events that we've done, and I've made a big photo board in the staff room. So one whole wall is now completely covered in photos of all of us doing different, all of these wellbeing staff meetings and outings, and it's just, it looks great. And people that come into the school that are visiting have always commented on the wall and, wow, you know, that looks fantastic, and you obviously have fun here. And it's just creating a bit of a different vibe for everyone and something to talk about when you come in the staff room, and teachers keep referring back to, oh, remember, oh, that was so funny, or look how they look. The photo board really creates conversation when you're in the staff room. I think it's really been a worthwhile, and I think the boss of the school has kept it going and pushed it because he can see the impact that it's had on the relationships, and you know, levels of positivity have risen in that regards, and people are working more in teams, and it's just been a really positive impact, I think, on the staff as a whole, having that as a focus.
Absolutely. That sounds brilliant, because you said it then, like, it's about providing opportunities for staff to have fun, because schools can be quite stressful places, as we know. Yeah. And I think sometimes when we talk about staff wellbeing, we think about getting like someone in and talking about how they can implement different strategies in their life to improve their wellbeing. But having fun together, having a laugh, that's probably one of the most laughter, as we know, is science tells us that. Yeah, science tells us that laughter is one of the things that increases our mood and our positivity, as you said. And and sometimes, schools can be a tricky place, but having that fun with each other and, I guess, building that sense of belonging and it's a place where people want to come and be part of it, that's huge for staff wellbeing.
And even some teachers have made comments, you know, they were saying, oh, what's she going to do next? You know, what's it going to be next? And when I sent out the murder mystery one, I had a teacher come up to me and say, oh, my God, you're really putting me out of my comfort zone. You know, this is, she was a little bit stressed. And I said, oh, it's not meant to be stressful. Mm. It's just fun. You don't have to come up, you know, dressed in you don't have to go to a costume shop and buy anything. Just put something on your head if you have to. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. But she came and she loved it. And, you know, it is getting people out of their comfort zone, and we all need to be put in that situation at times. So there's different levels of what, not just about having fun, but I guess building confidence in us as well. Even as adults, we all still need that bit of a push every now and again. So
absolutely.
It's definitely been something that has worked well, and it's something that I am passionate about doing now. You know, I've really got a drive for keeping it going and making sure that, and, you know, I know that it's not my responsibility solely to make sure everyone's happy and having fun. That's it. But I'm providing the framework for that to take place, and then it's up to everybody else, and they are really going with it. So
that's amazing.
I
didn't expect that, to be honest, but the more I think about it, that's absolutely brilliant. And what have you got next?
Well, I'm already thinking about it. So, because I know that it's, for me, week four, every term is the wellbeing stuff. So I'm like, what am I going to do next?
So that'll be term one of
next year, term
next
one,
year,
week
2022.
Four.
Yep.
Yeah. And I just had a chat with a colleague this morning. I'm like, oh, any ideas? What can I do? And it was suggested that maybe he knows some artists that could come in.
Ah, yes.
And we were talking, you know, maybe we could do a bit of an art thing where we all make something in the art class that contributes to a bigger piece, or, you know, something for the staff room that we've all made a little piece that goes up onto this piece of art. So that's where I'm headed at the moment. But then I also have to do the welcome back activity when we come back, when teachers go back to school in week zero.
Yep.
And this year I did it as well. And I bought some cheap frames from IKEA.
Yep.
And each teacher got to welcome each other back. The good thing for us actually this year was that we had no new staff starting. Everybody knew each other.
Yep.
And we all had a frame given. You had to take a frame, and I had all these stickers and texters and pens, and you were given a name, and you had to create a frame about that person. So using words and things about that person just to give them a bit of a lift when they needed it. So
absolutely.
You know, people would write things like kind on there, or things that they knew about them, organized, you know, whatever it was, great listener, fun, always positive. And so everyone got a little present at the end of the activity, which was a photo frame made for them by another staff member. So that's what
brilliant.
I did this year, and it was very well received, and everyone has these little frames on their tables in their classrooms. So every time I go in, I see that. And so now I've been allocated to do that welcome back activity for 22.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm starting to think of ideas that I can do for that. And I've just done the Komochi's training. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but it's about, you know, the feelings. And I thought, oh, maybe I could start an activity about how you're feeling. And they had an activity where it was called feeling soup, and you put all these feelings of how you're feeling into this bowl. And it's a real targeted junior primary activity. But I thought I could use something similar to that, using those feelings, and then maybe get teachers to make a keyring type thing to themselves with a positive quote or positive sayings that they can make for themselves to give them a bit of a reminder or a bit of a boost when they're needing when they're needing it. So when, you know, like you said earlier, things can get tough in schools and you can have really stressful moments. So when it's getting like that and things are getting on top of you, what quote sits well with you or what resonates with you that you can just read to get you back into a good place? Or
absolutely.
So I'm thinking somewhere along those sorts of lines at the moment. But
yeah, definitely.
Affected that idea just yet.
It's funny you say that because, like you said, mentioned about like a junior primary activity that with the emojis and feelings, but quite often it doesn't matter if you're a 5-year-old or a 65-year-old. Like they're relevant for everyone.
Yes.
And it's a good reminder to particularly being like, I find something that, or basically take ownership of your well-being yourself. So if you are having bad days, you said, maybe that little key ring idea is that trigger that, okay, I'm just having a bad moment at the moment, but okay, it's okay. I'll have a look at the key ring, remind myself. Absolutely. And I think sometimes as adults, we forget to do those things, but stuff like that, particularly for the staff wellbeing is brilliant. Yeah. So I think there's some great ideas to implement at schools with the making it fun. And I know that Gillar Street Primary is right in the city in Adelaide, but I know there's so many different other things that staff rooms.
You just have to be creative.
Creative, exactly right, to make fun and create that positivity within the staff and that fun. Now, Megan, just jumping way back to when we started, and you mentioned about part of your role is to incorporate the wellbeing or the Growing with Gratitude program around the whole school. Now, I love walking through your school because... you've done really, really good job of setting up, I guess, displays inside the corridors, but also outside as well. So tell us about some of those things that you've done to implement wellbeing across your whole school.
Okay, so when with the focus of Growing with Gratitude, I started with a big gratitude wall, which was a whole school buy-in activity, and we've got a large bricked wall on one of the buildings, and I got children to go and write something they're grateful for with chalk on this wall. So each child basically took a brick and just wrote a word.
Yep.
And the whole wall was covered, and I think I sent you a photo of that at some point. So that was very well received, and I left it there for a term, and then I rubbed it and let them do it again. So they could write something new. So that happened. I also ordered some spinning wheels last year, and I bought two for, you know, either end of the school, and students can go up at recess or any time and spin the wheel, and up would come a task, and it would be related to kindness or gratitude or physical activity or whatever it might be, and whatever it lands on, they would have to complete the task. So it might be go up and introduce yourself to the teacher on yard duty and say something that you've had fun doing today, or whatever it might be. So I did that for a few terms, and I would come up with the tasks. But then I thought, I haven't got time to keep doing this. I need to change this so it's easier for me. So I gave each class in the school a template, and the teachers got the classes to come up with their own activities for these spinning, for the gratitude wheel. We call them the gratitude wheels. And so then I got every class's ideas, and then I made templates that said, room one would like you to, and it would say what room one wanted them to do. So each class was acknowledged in that, and I'm still using that now. So it's been going for probably a year and a half now, and the kids spin it all the time. Sometimes they're just spinning it because they just want to spin it. But they do it. So it's a bit like the wheel that you have on your website that they do in the classrooms. That's where I got the idea from, just to replicated in the yard. So it is happening every day. You know, it's that daily practice.
Mm, absolutely.
Daily kindness practice and all of those things.
Yeah. So I know, so those wheels, I know that I'm not exactly sure what they call, but they are these spinning wheels that they've each, I guess, wedge has a, like a handle when you can spin around, it spins around a number of times. And then it's like, I guess it's like Wheel of Fortune type wheel.
Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah.
It's a miniature one. It sits upright.
Yes,
and
exactly.
They're bolted into the wall at the school. Yep.
Yes. Yep. I had to get the grounds person to bolt them in to keep them steady and sturdy. Look, unfortunately, the little spikes that stick out they all fell off. Too much use.
Yes.
So now they're spinning wheels without the thing, without the spikes, but wherever the arrow lands is where it is what they do. So they are a little bit tattered, but they have had excellent use. So it's been money well spent, let me tell you.
Fantastic. Oh, I think that's a really good idea because it's a fun way and it gauges the students' recess or lunchtime, but it's just another way to promote the well-being at the school. So that's a fantastic way. So and what other, I know there's a few other ways, what other ways have you incorporated across the school?
I have, every week I send out a well-being quote or thought or video to teachers and one for students. So every week there will be a theme or just whatever I can find and it's a talking point for classes. So
yes.
I'm still doing the teacher thing for them, but then students are also engaging in whatever I've sent.
Yep.
And their teacher will show it, watch the video, or discuss the quote. What does it mean? Let's unpack it. So yeah, there's a weekly sort of idea that can be discussed, and it's always related to growing with gratitude, well-being, whatever it might be. So
yes. Yep.
So that happens. I recently did. It was called, I don't know if you've heard of Flower Day.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so we were approached by the council of the City of Adelaide, and they apparently many years ago, Adelaide celebrated what was called Flower Day. I think it was it stopped happening about 45 years ago, and the Adelaide Council wanted to bring it back because flowers make us feel good and promote positivity and all those things. And so I got involved with that, and we bought some rocks, just from Bunnings, and some texters, those paint texters.
Yes. Yep.
And every class, I went into every class, and every class painted or drew a flower on their rock, and wrote their name and the year.
Yep.
And then we made a little garden bed of these rocks. So the whole, out the front of the school, there's a garden bed of rocks of every student in the school. And we talked about what flowers do, how they make us feel, and talked about this flower day and the point of the flower day. And then the council brought every student a flower that day. So it was all a really nice feel-good activity. And at the end of the day, the students were all wanting their parents to come and have a look at these rocks and get, there was just all these people at the fence looking at these rocks.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, absolutely.
Parents couldn't quite come into the yard at that point.
Oh,
So they're all looking through the fence at all these rocks. But the kids really enjoyed that activity. And when I recently sought some feedback from students and made this video, and I said, what sorts of things, do you want to see at the school? What do we need to do to make it more together and connected? And someone said, one of the students said, we need more activities like the flowers on the rocks. So, I feel that trying to incorporate an activity that everyone in the school does really does create that belonging and that sense of togetherness.
Yeah, definitely.
So I do want to do some more things like that next year. And I think special events like Harmony Day, they really allow for those sorts of things to take place.
Yep.
So I think maybe for Harmony Day next year, I'll be looking at more. I have run lots of activities for Harmony Day in the yard, and kids can join it at their choice. They don't have to.
Yep.
But I think Harmony Day might be a thing where I can do something similar to the Rock thing where every child participates and they all have a piece of that little puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think consistency is really important, I think. Like, because I know that some schools, what I've seen is that they're keen to do a positive education or wellbeing program and they might purchase a program or something like that and hand it over to teachers. And that's all that happens.
And it's left, yeah.
It's left. So some teachers do it really well. Some teachers do it okay. Some won't touch it. And that's just quite common. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. When a school or a workplace introduces something new, you'll get those adopters, you'll get the innovators who jump straight in, and then you'll get the, I think they call the laggards who might wait for the others to give their feedback on it before they before they get into it. And but what I've found is that when a school has a really impactful and good, solid wellbeing program, it's consistent across the whole school. And that involves whole school activities. The great example, that Rock one then, when everyone's involved and it does create that consistency. And one other thing that I know that you've got at the school is the hallway displays. So I think that's really important as well to make it visible. And I know that gratitude wall outside was brilliant. I love that. And I was going to say, I remember visiting one day and I think it was after recess or lunchtime, and you see the kids lining up ready to go back in class and they were reading through them.
They really do. And even when it's been there for a really long time, they still read it.
Yeah.
It's and I think having those displays, you know, when it's been, you know that it's being discussed and taught in the classrooms, but when they are constantly seeing it around them, it's making those connections and building that language, and everyone's on the same sort of page. So it's really important. And also, you know, when you talk about the whole school activities, and there's something that we did recently, it was World Teachers Day recently, and and we also had SSO week, you know, before that, but though I've used those sorts of days to model kindness and getting kids to think about and be grateful for the people and the adults in their school world, in their school life. And when with the World Teachers Day, I set up a bit of a station out in the schoolyard. I called it the World Teachers Day station, and had big posters on it with instructions. And I made little notebooks for every teacher in the school.
Yep.
Had their name on it. And I had it set up for 2 weeks prior to World Teachers Day, and I trained up students to monitor the table and look after it and set it all up for me each day. And then the whole school over the 2 weeks would come and write in any adult's book that they wanted to write in and say what they were grateful for. So, you know, you had a lot of the year 6 and 7 students coming and visiting that table and going back to their reception teacher and writing, thank you for what you did for me in reception. And we really, and the adults could do it too. So teachers were coming up to the table and writing in each other's books. And that kindness and that gratitude was really modelled to everyone. So every recess, every lunch, this was happening. That was a heartwarming thing too, to take place. And then on actual World Teachers Day, we had a morning tea in the staff room, and I presented each teacher with a little gift, and it had the notebook that was made for them and a chocolate, and it was wrapped up, and teachers, it made their day.
Absolutely.
But it also made the kids' days too, because, you know, they were just seeing constantly kids writing these kind things. And we did a similar thing for SSO Day. But this time I made a jar. I had a jar, you know, a bit like your gratitude jar.
Yep.
And it had their name on the jar, but then each class was given little paper tags, and it had the SSO's name on the front of the tag, and it just said, you know, I am grateful to Moni for. And then on the back, each student had to, or whoever works with that SSO, whatever classes worked with that SSO, had to write something they were grateful for about that SSO. And that all of these little messages went into that jar, and that they took that home. And I, the night of that day, one of the SSOs messaged me and said, that is the most thoughtful thing I've ever received. And I will look at this all the time.
That's brilliant.
So, you know, just that, I don't know, the kindness and all of that, that we've tried to instill it's there, and students enjoy those opportunities to do those sorts of things. It makes them feel good too, you know. You, when you're being kind, we all know that makes you feel good, not just the person you're being kind to.
Yeah, absolutely. I really love those ideas. They're definitely ideas that people can implement across the whole school, and also going back to the staff wellbeing ideas as well. Megan, just to go on to, for schools that are starting out a wellbeing program or an initiative, where do you think is a good place to start? So is it, in your opinion, is it good to start with training the staff first about the importance of wellbeing in general, and then about the importance of teaching young people about positive education or wellbeing, the benefit for them, or what's your opinion on a school that's starting out?
I think if you are starting anything, you always need to have a collective staff buy-in, no matter what you do, because staff need to feel like they've been part of a decision, a decision-making process. So I think definitely staff is the starting point. And then you work your way out.
Can I just ask, how would you set that up? So, for example, coming into a positive we really need to have a wellbeing focus. Mm-hmm. But we want to engage the staff to make sure they're on board. How do you go about that?
Well, I can give you a bit of an example of something we have just started this year. It's not a wellbeing program as such, but wellbeing definitely comes into it, and student voice and all of those things. But we have just overhauled our whole school vision, mission and values.
Yes.
And we started with, you know, discussing it at a staff meeting. You know, our school values haven't been changed for 10 years or something. Yep. You know, no one even knew what they were.
So, funny you say that. I've just actually been talking about that at the moment, about school values, that if you ask the teachers what they are, first of all, ask the teachers what they are, a lot of 50% of them probably don't even know, or even higher. And then they hardly get talked about. So that's really interesting you say that.
So we found that. We ran a few staff meetings on it. No one knew what they were. So we've done a very big overhauling of those. And to start that process, we needed to have a committee that would start that, because you haven't got time for all staff to investigate it, and all staff to, you need to start with a committee. So that's your first point. Once you've got your committee, you know, we did some investigating, some research. What are other schools doing? How do they do it? What are they? All of that. And then we presented it to staff.
Got it.
This is what we found out, you know, so you get that a bit of a collective buy-in. And then from there, we talked, or we got the staff to basically say what they thought the values should be.
Yep.
We did a type of survey or collection or whatever. I can't remember what you call it at the moment, sorry. But we did collect all of their thoughts, and then we did a tally, and we came up with the staff top values.
Yep. And how many did you have?
We have five.
Five, yep.
Yep. So then I created a survey for the students.
Yep.
And there were about five questions that pulled out, you know, drawing in on possible ideas for a vision and a mission for the school, what was important to them, you know, what they liked about school, what needed to be improved, and then, you know, what values are important to you, you know, what values should be looked upon at our school, what should we be instilling at our school. So we were able to tally the student responses, and we did this with every student in years 4 to 7. We didn't do it with the junior primary students. We just did it with year 4 to 7.
Yep.
And then, so we got staff responses, student responses, and then we sent a survey home for all the families to complete, and we got all the parents to do it as well. So it's taken us the whole year to do this. It hasn't been a simple process, but if you want to implement something properly, you need to take your time with it, and you need to have that feeling that the whole community has made a decision about it, not just the teachers.
Yeah.
So we made sure that did happen, and we have just now shared all of the results from the students and the staff and the families with the staff.
Yep.
And we've come up and we have the results of everything, and we were able to make the decision about what the top five values were.
Yep.
So we're now at that point, we've got the values, and we now have to start thinking about how we're going to implement that next year.
Yeah, sure. That's really interesting. I guess going slightly off what we're talking about, but that's the school values are such a big thing. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've noticed a lot of schools are doing, and I reckon it's a great idea, is when you've got those school values, and what you've done there is a really thorough way of coming up with them. It's brilliant. Really builds that whole, I guess, community approach, doesn't it? When everyone's got their, or at least has a say.
Yeah.
And what are some schools are actually doing now is particularly the senior students, is that you've got your values and then they're having a bit of a competition. They take the values, say, for example, what's one of your values?
Respect.
Respect. So what they come up with is they draw a character that represents respect and does a little bit of a bio about the character and how it relates to respect. And they have a vote about, well, they give it the character a name. Like I know Grange Primary School's actually got Ray the Roo, who actually shows respect. And then the students vote on the best character design. And that becomes the school
For that character value.
Yeah, for that value. And then what happens is they get sent off to a designer and they get made in, like, just tidied up a little bit into a character, a proper character. And that becomes the value around a lot of the talk and the behavior management.
Yes.
Very visible across the school. And just giving another way to give students the ownership of the values, coming up with their own characters that they want to represent. Yep. So that's another really good way
And we have looked at others. When I said, we look at what other schools are doing, and that is what came up for us.
Yes,
And we think that we would like to run a similar thing, maybe run some sort of competition or whatever it might be, where kids do design the characters for these values. Mm. And then have that done as well. And I think that's really important for especially the younger students who might not be able to read yet or can't. But if they can see that character, they know what that means, and they discuss those sorts of values in relation to that character. So absolutely, that is where we're headed. Like I said earlier, it's a slow process and it takes time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But starting with staff is always the first point, because if you don't have them involved and they're not in agreement, it's not going to work. It's always the number one in any in anything that you implement, and no matter what it is, if it's a positive psychology program or if it's values, whatever it might be, whatever is being implemented, it really needs to be built upon evidence-based research and best practice in our field, in wellbeing. So that's always the starting point in whatever we do, really.
Yeah. So I guess the first stage is, like, the school leaders come up, okay, maybe we need to look at this, and then take it to staff. Is that what happens?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I guess the school leaders are the ones that, I guess, will come up with those ideas. Okay, well, we can see, as leaders, we can see this is an area we want to improve on. It could be a wellbeing focus.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's bring it up with the staff and work out what we can do together to implement it. Because, that's one of the roles of school leaders, isn't it? To bring different initiatives in. But I like how you made the point about having staff buy in, because at the end of the day, they're the ones who are implementing in the classroom, aren't they? Yeah. Without that,
Without them, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So they need to be the main part of that decision-making process and how it runs and how it's implemented, because it's all up to them.
Mm.
We can do what we can as leaders in the yard and whole school activities, but ultimately it's our teachers that are the key in this.
Yep.
And knowing what to implement and what's working as leaders, it's connecting with other leaders in other schools, and what's happening in other schools, sometimes it helps get us to that point too.
Yeah, definitely.
The portfolio that we're in and what schools in our portfolio are doing, and can sometimes filter into ideas of what we might need to do. Mm. So yeah, it's always little bits and things that can come into it. But yeah, at the end of the day, if teachers aren't agreeable about what it is, then it's not going to work.
Yeah. So just on that, what happens, say, if the majority of teachers are on board with something and there might be just a handful who aren't, what sort of happens then, and what's a good way to,
I think there's a few things that you could do. Some teachers might end up working together with another class, or I've seen teachers collaborating, or, you know, you do this bit and I'll do this bit and we'll have different groups and we'll swap over. And sometimes that peer team teaching or whatever can support another teacher seeing a different way, or and sometimes that's is all that's needed. They just need a bit more time, or they just need to see a little bit more evidence of how it could work. I haven't, at this point in my career in this job, I haven't seen people ever refuse not doing that.
Yeah,
I've not seen that. Yep. And I think generally if a program is promoting well-being of students and teachers, and while they might not be on board straight away, they will give it a go. Most people will give things a go, but it just takes more time for some than others. But yeah, I haven't ever come across someone that's, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's
I don't ever.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, because at the end of the day, it is about the students, isn't it? Particularly.
Yes, and that's the key point. Yeah. It's about students. So if this is going to help students, then let's give it a go. We've got nothing to lose.
Exactly right. And I guess, and I know that some of the times the argument from teachers is, oh, how are we going to fit this in?
Yes.
But that's up to the, I guess, the leadership to support the teachers in that allocate the time and things like that as well.
That is the main issue. That is always the issue with any program in any curriculum area.
Yep.
It's always time is the biggest issue we have. There's just not enough of it, and it's always coming up with creative ways of trying to fit extra things in.
Yep.
But a lot of this stuff that we do, especially with wellbeing, doesn't always have to be just fit in. It can be incorporated.
Yes.
And you know, I have seen, we have quite a few classes that do work together on some of this stuff. And, you know, you might have an upper primary class with a junior primary class out in the yard doing things. And you know, that's really effective too. So,
absolutely.
There's different, you just have to be creative.
And I think,
as teachers, they are. They are,
absolutely. And the kids are themselves. They can come up with ideas sometimes as well.
And that's a very good point, because the ideas that we build on most of the time.
And you mentioned, I know that a number of schools do have the buddy system where the older students are matched up with the younger students in their class. And that's a really good way to, if you have that allocated buddy time once a week or once a fortnight, there's opportunities there to run different programs within that time as well. So as you say, incorporating it, being creative, how you can include it in. But now, Megan, there's been a lot of takeaways that the listeners can take away here, and I really appreciate your time. There's a lot about what I took away was the teacher wellbeing ideas, the ideas that you can implement around the school and each of the classrooms to make it consistent. Just setting up something new as well, like whether that's implementing or revisiting the school values, setting up a committee, taking it to the staff and having everyone involved in that decision making is really important. So really, really appreciate your time.
You're very welcome.
And a lot of takeaways there. And thank you so much for being on the Positive Education Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure. That's it.
All right.
You survived.
That wasn't so bad.
No, not at all. That was good. Okay. That was really good. A lot of good takeaways. That's what this is about, trying to give teachers ideas about what they can implement, everyone's at so different stages of this wellbeing space, and even teachers who, or schools who've been doing it for a while, there's always something that you can pick up from somebody else, and I think schools are pretty good at sharing as well, I reckon.
And that's what you need. You need to see what other schools are doing to form your own opinions or to form your own ideas, because that's it's got to be the research based evidence. Well, it's worked here and they've got this result, and that, you know, it's definitely where you need to start.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. All right.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay, so just need me to send you a little paragraph about
little paragraph just about yourself and a headshot, and then I reckon I'll be putting up that this week, I reckon. So probably tomorrow. Straight into it.
So how do I listen to these? Do you do it on Spotify or what?
Yeah, it's on Spotify. It's like I've got a like ashmanual.com website as well. It's actually you can access it from the Growing with Gratitude website as well. There's a podcast link.
It's funny because I did see them on when I was on the Growing with Gratitude a few weeks ago, and then I looked yesterday and I couldn't see them.
Oh, really?
I don't know where I was then. I don't know. What's it under in the podcast bit? What section of the website?
Hang on, I'll just have a look. Should we? I thought there was a drop. Well, it should be, unless something's happened. But
no, I think there was, because I'd seen it. I'm like, oh, I'll go back and listen to those ones.
Oh, there it is. Yep. So podcast. So it's just in the drop down on the. If you're on a desktop, it's just at the top. Yeah. If you're on a mobile, it's just on the drop down. Okay. Yeah, it's there. It seems to be. Good. Yep, it's working. So.
Yep. Okay. Good. All right, I will have a look. Okay, so I'll get that to you today, and I'll send you a picture.
Beautiful. Thanks. All right. Thanks, Megan. Appreciate the time. No worries. That was great.
No, you're welcome. Okay. See you later.
Bye.
See ya.